I'll share with you next week. But answering the objections, I don't think anybody probably had as many objections as I had. I mean, I had a bunch. Now, Serge, I know you probably had a whole bunch, but, man, I had tons on tons on tons. Now, you weren't raised religious, right? You raised Catholic, okay. And so was I. I was raised with Catholicism, with Baptists. I was raised with the Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, and I was raised with the Islamic faith. And so I had just a barrage of stuff that I had questioned in my mind. And I knew they all couldn't be right. And I knew somebody had to be wrong. I just didn't know who was wrong. Amen. And so I had so many questions. And I tell you, God just gave me the right place and the right people to answer all of those questions. And what a blessing it has made in my life. Take your Bible. Stand with me once again. We're going to go over to Ephesians again and read the area there and talk about objections tonight and how to answer the objectors. Ephesians chapter 6, and read our familiar verses again, because that's the crux of where we're at. My new Bible, y'all bear with me now. I'm not tearing this. This is my new Bible, amen. So pages are stuck together, so if I don't get around like I used to, I'm going to bring back my old Bible on Sunday, I think, amen. I'll bring up my new one Sunday night when Pastor White's preaching. I won't have to use it as much, amen. Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 10 down through 12, and then I'll read 13 and 14. Amen. All right, let's start in verse number 10. Here we go. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Notice verse 13. Wherefore, as a result of what I just read, take unto you the whole armor of God, you may be able to withstand, amen, or stand against in the evil day. Having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Verse 15 says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Or in other words, part of your armor and part of my armor is being ready to give out the gospel. And we should always be ready to give out the gospel. May not always get the opportunity and always get a chance, but we should be ready, instant in season and out of season. Father, bless now the next moments that we have, that, Lord, we can answer the critics and the objectors when they come asking questions about our gospel and our faith and why they don't want to get saved. And Lord, help us to be patient with them as just as much as people were patient with us. Thank you for loving us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Talking about the area of making sure that we can stand in regards to giving out the gospel. Stand giving out the gospel. In your books, we left off on page 15, dealing with common questions. And I gave you guys the answers, I think, to the whole thing. Did I not? Page 15 through 19. Yes, let me give you all the way up to page 24. So if you got your book there, page 15, first one's going to be dealing with common questions. Dealing with common questions. By the way, they are very common because we all have them. A, common objections. Objections. That means somebody does not want to get saved and they're going to give you an objection. Common objections. Brother Aaron Reyes was just telling me he was at his job witnessing today, and a Mormon individual began to talk about the lost books of the Bible and the lost book of, what is it, Cephas and some other things. Amen. And if you know anything about Mormons, they believe there are lost tribes, there's lost books, there's all sort of lost stuff. And so they had to get it all together, put it in the Book of Mormon, and talk about it. And they use the King James Bible. They brag about using the King James book. Amen. Doesn't matter if they use the King James book, because the Book of Mormon supersedes the Bible. Amen. And so don't listen to anything they've got to say. Just continue to give them the gospel. You know what they'll do? They'll run. They'll run. They will try to give you more questions. You stick with the gospel, they will run. Amen. Sooner or later. One, I've always been a Christian. That's the first objection. I've always been a Christian. Number two, I've asked God to forgive me many times. I've asked God to forgive me many times. Number three, this is too simple. I need to do something to earn it. earn it. Number four, I'm good enough. I'm not a very bad sinner. Not a very good sinner either. Amen. I'm good enough. I'm not a very bad sinner. Number five, doesn't death end everything? No, it's just beginning. Amen. By the way, the life that we live is short compared to eternity. Amen. The Bible says you're only living about 70 to 80 years. If that, 60, 70, 80 years, that's it. And after that, eternity steps in. Some people don't even live that long. Amen. There are very few that live to be 100 plus. Amen. And so once that time frame is up, eternity sets in. Guess how long eternity is? Forever. That's a long time. Amen. Doesn't death end everything? No, it doesn't. It's just beginning. Six, I don't want to give up my lifestyle or my friends. I don't want to give up my lifestyle or my friends. By the way, this tragedy about that I mentioned last week, you don't want to give up your lifestyle or your friends. You die and go to hell. Your friends get saved later on. Then guess what? You never see your friends. Amen. Number seven, I think as long as I'm sincere in what I believe, that's all that matters. A lot of sincere people in hell. Amen. That's why the judgment needs to take place, because they were sincere. Be the deity of Christ. The deity of Christ. Then number one on page 20, his deity is shown through his names. His deity is shown through his names. Number two, his deity is shown through his works. His deity is shown through his works. Then number three on page 21, his deity is shown through worship. His deity is shown through worship. Then on page 22, his deity is shown through his attributes. His deity is shown through his attributes. Number five, his deity is shown through his resurrection. His deity is shown through his resurrection. Amen. Anybody need me to repeat any of those? All right, now it'll take us up to page 24. So objections. So we're going to talk about some of these objections today. And see if we can't answer some of these objections and help you out. Amen. And by the way, I'm not going to get into some of the deeper questions that will require a lot more a study. Oops. But we'll look at some of the common questions here. Let's go to this first question here. And by the way, it's okay for people to have questions. Okay, by the way, so don't tell them they shouldn't have any questions. You know, it's good to have questions as long as the questions are investigatory. Is that a word? Investigative. That's what I'm looking for. Investigate. If they're looking for the truth. Amen. There's nothing wrong with questions. I had a ton of questions. And you know why? I wasn't trying to get somebody off my back. I literally wanted to know. I wanted to know. I was curious because the Catholics said this and the Baptists said this and my Islamic folks said this and the Jehovah's Witnesses were saying this and the Mormons were saying this and some were saying the Bible wasn't true. And I said, I want to know if I'm going to believe this book, which believe it or not, I did believe the Bible. I believed it. Now, I couldn't prove to you all the things in the Bible, but I believe there was a hell. I believe there was a heaven. I believe there was a God. I believe there was a Jesus. I believe there was a devil. I believe there were demons. And I believe there were angels. So I believe what the Bible has said. Say, preacher, who made you believe that? This book, the Holy Spirit. And by the way, if God doesn't get somebody to believe it, they're not going to believe it. Amen. You can mark her down. If God's not going to believe it, they're not going to believe it. So questions are okay. Amen. And so, you know, there are a bunch of questions that are going to be answered. Amen. And so these are some common questions that you want to kind of be familiar with. The first one is, I've always been a Christian. Has everybody always been a Christian? Is there anybody that has always been a Christian? Amen. There's no one that's always been a Christian. Amen. The only one that's always been is God. And God has always been God. Jesus has always been Jesus. The Holy Spirit has always been the Holy Spirit. But people have not always been saved. You know, you get these people say, well, I've always been saved. And then you ask them this rhetorical question. Have you always been born? You know what they say? Well, no, get out of here. But you've always been saved. But you've not always been born. And then they come back, well, You're trying to make me look stupid. No, you're doing a good job by yourself. Honest, you really are. No one was born saved, amen. And so, we've got to make sure that we can get them past that point. No one is born a Christian. Even the person is born into a home with Christian parents, or they're baptized into a church, or as a baby, they still must make a personal choice to be saved, amen. The Bible says, except a man be what? Born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Notice verse Psalm 51:5. Here's some good ways to answer the objections. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. David said that. John 1:12. But as many as what? Received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Can you imagine a mother having a baby and never receiving her baby? Can you imagine that? The baby is born, but she never received the baby. Can you imagine the baby, Aaliyah, is born, but you never receive her? You walk around her all the time. You look at her, but you never receive her at all. You never take her in. She's just kind of sitting over there. That doesn't even make sense, does it? I mean, could you imagine leaving Danny or Katie like that? No. Serge would have a fit.
I'm Katie. Huh? I'm Katie.
Danny or Andrea? I still got that phobia. Mrs. White, can you imagine leaving Brittany and continue at the hospital and never receiving them? Then just leave at the hospital. They'd be all right. No, it doesn't work that way. Amen. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I've not always been a Christian. I've got to be born again the same way I was born the first time. By the way, they list 1, 2, these three. What's another good verse you can go to where someone says, I've always been a Christian? What verse can you share with them? I've always been a Christian. Miss Katie?
There's none righteous, no, not one.
None righteous, no, not one. Amen. Where is that? That's the Ephesians.
Romans 3:10.
Amen. Let's go over there. Romans 3:10 real quick. Amen. Romans is a very, very good book to take someone to, by the way. Romans 3:10. And by the way, that'll hit you right between the eyes too, Romans 3:10.
Even verse 11, there is none that seeketh after God.
Amen. Everybody there, Romans 3:10 and 11? All right. And I'm not there yet. I still got my new Bible. Amen. All right, here we go. As it is written, there is none righteous, none one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Katie, it even gets better. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. So I've not been born a Christian. If that's the case, then you would be doing some kind of good. Amen. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Amen. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Amen. Now, why do we say all that? Now, we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Right there, they're all guilty before God. So no one is born a Christian. No one is born saved. They're born a sinner. And it says, by the law is the knowledge of sin, in verse number 20, amen, and beginning of verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. By the way, the law was made to do what? To give life, or show us that we weren't able to meet up to God's standards. We weren't able to meet God. It was never designed to give us life. Amen. Just like the laws of man are not designed to show you how good you are. What are our laws designed to do? To show you when you mess up. When you get a ticket, they don't come out and say, yay, happy, happy birthday to you. You ran a red light to you. No, they say, here's a ticket. You better pay up. So it's not there to tell you how good you are. It's there to tell you how bad you are. Amen. And so when they gave the law, when he said, thou shalt have no other gods before me, not committing adultery, not making any graven images, and all the Ten Commandments, when he made all those, it wasn't to show them how good they were. It was to show them God's holy standard and that they couldn't meet up to it. And so when you look at this verse here, these set of verses here, that's a complete justification that I've not always been a Christian. And then here's the counter to that. If they've always been a Christian, then why did Jesus have to come and die? Amen. If they were always a Christian, then Jesus just wasted his time up on the cross. It was a waste of his time. He said, oh, well, you need Jesus, but I don't. Amen. Who got another good verse besides that? Romans 3:10 just kind of puts the icing on the cake. Is there another verse that anybody knows that you use when somebody says, I've always been a Christian? Amen. No, those are pretty good. Amen. Go down to the next objection. I've asked God to forgive me many times. Amen. Now, by the way, that was one that I used. And I did almost every night. I did the now I lay me down to sleep prayer. And I thought, hey, look, I'm going to pray that just in case Jesus comes back. Believe it or not, I believe Jesus was coming back. Sir, I wouldn't even say. Both. Sometimes drunk, sometimes sober. And I would pray that prayer every night. I was really afraid that Jesus was going to come back and I wasn't going to be ready. And so I would pray the now I lay me down to sleep prayer. I heard the kids pray it. So I'm like, hey, I'm a big kid. And so I would pray that prayer, hoping that if something were to happen to me, that God was going to remember me. And so when you look at that one right there, I've asked God to forgive me many times. Was I sincere? Yes, I was. Was I saved? No. Why wasn't I saved? Actually, I did, but I didn't have the knowledge of what it was all about. I know I didn't want to go to hell, but I didn't have the concept of putting all of my faith and confidence in Jesus Christ. I didn't have that concept that I had to put all my faith in and trust in him. By the way, it wasn't until after I got married until I really understood what that meant when I said, hey, I'm going to marry Miss Davila. And for the rest of my life, I'm going to be committed to her. And it hit me. I'm stuck. Not in a bad way. Now, don't y'all go tell my wife that. I've committed my entire life to her. And no matter what happens, it's me and her. I've forsaken everybody else. They're all behind me. And it's just me and her. And I understood what commitment was about and committing to Christ was about. When I prayed my lay me down to sleep, I was saying, okay, Lord, I want you to be good to me. But then during the daytime, I did what I wanted to do. But then I'd come back at that night. Okay, Lord, I did a lot of bad stuff here. And so I want you to save me again. If you come back tonight, I want you to take me to heaven. And I wake up the next day. What was that? That was no commitment on my part. I did not commit to him. But when I got married and I understood, I've just committed my entire life to her. And I thought, now I understand. That's commitment. And that's what I've got to do with Jesus. He's going to commit to me, but I've got to commit to him. He's done his part on the cross. Now I've got to do my part. And my thing was, am I really, truly able to live the Christian life? That was one of the things that stopped me. I know God didn't play games. And so am I really ready to make this commitment? No drinking, no cursing, no bad language and no lying. Am I really? I can't live this life. And guess what? I couldn't. But I didn't have that concept. I thought 86 years old, when I get 86 years old, I'll stop sinning. So I'll get saved when I'm 86. I just need to be careful until I'm 86 and maybe I'll get saved then. But God arrested my soul February 3rd, 1991. Yes, ma'am.
I remember
Amen.
Then I asked her, I said, is God a liar? She said, no. I said, have you ever sinned, God? She said, no. So I thought went around that circle a couple of times. I just said, amen. I'll talk to you later. But to me, I couldn't get her to see that she was a sinner.
And some folks, it's hard. You know, one of the easiest places I've found is taking back to the Ten Commandments and say, have you always done everything that your mother and father told you to do? Because the Bible says, children, honor your father and your mother. Have you done everything with the right heart, with the right intention, right away when they said, everybody's got to say, no, I have not. And normally I'll take them there. One girl, I said, now, are you a sinner? You know, she said, well, no, I just smoke cigarettes. I ain't no sinner. I thought, bless your heart. Amen. Or you ask him, have you ever told a lie? No, I've always told the truth. You just told a lie right there. Yeah. You know, because now folks think, well, I haven't told a big, you know, bald-faced lie. Well, just twisting the truth is a lie. Did Abraham lie when he said, Sarah's not my wife? Yes, he did. All right. She's my sister. Because he made a statement with the intent to skew the truth. And anytime you make a statement to skew the truth, that's a lie, because you're trying to intentionally get someone to believe an untruth. Amen. And so most folks don't want to go there. When you go to back to the Ten Commandments, you know, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt make any graven image. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Say, do you go to church every Sunday? Or do you go every Saturday at least? They broke it right there. And, you know, and don't go into honor your father and your mother. Thou shalt not kill. You say, well, I've never murdered anyone. Say, have you ever slandered somebody's name? You just killed their reputation. Hey, have you done something immorally? Hey, you killed somebody's purity. You know, they think of the physical, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. You ever take something that doesn't belong to you? Everybody got a Safeway pen in their pocket. Safeway, Fry's pen, the doctor's office. You know, give me a pen. You know, that says U.S. government. Are you in the military? Well, no. How'd you get that pen? Well, you know. Amen. All right. So notice what it says here. I've asked God to forgive me many times. Another variant of this, I pray every day. The soul winner should explain that praying to receive Christ as Savior is different than just a repeated prayer. What was different about the time that I got married to Mrs. Dawson than all other times? What was different from all the previous times when I met her? What was different on that day that I got married? I committed to her. I said, till death do we part. I said, hey, look, I, Gregory Dawson, do take thee, Carmen Davila, to be my lawfully wedded wife, to have and to hold, till death do we part, and for good times and bad times, and richer and poorer and poorer and poorer, and you know, all that, amen? And that day, I made a commitment. That was the difference. When we get saved, the difference is we commit to the Lord. We say, Lord, I'm a sinner and deserving of hell, but I'm asking you to take my sins and put them up on the tree where you're at. You bore them, and I'm asking you to give me your eternal life that you had given to me because of your death, burial, and resurrection. It was for me, and I'm taking that today, and I'm not turning back. That's the difference. That's the difference. And so when someone says they pray all the time or they pray every day, that's different because it's a commitment. By the way, once you pray the sinner's prayer, do you have to pray it again? No. Just like I don't have to marry Mrs. Dawson again. We're already married. Now, I know there's a recommitting of vows, and that's something totally different. That's just a rededication, saying I'm going to renew this thing afresh and get that thing vibrant again. Amen. But I don't have to marry her again. Why? Legally. And the side of God in the state of Illinois, guess what? I'm married. And so I don't have to do that again. Once I get saved, I don't ever have to pray the sinner's prayer for salvation ever again. Now I need to say, Lord, cleanse my heart. I'm wicked. Amen. Search my heart and know me. Try my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way of righteousness. Now I need to pray, create in me a clean heart. And when I sin, I need to pray things like that. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. I need to pray prayers like that. But as far as a salvation, it's just like getting married. I never have to ask Carmen to marry me again. Why? I'm married. I'm married. Amen. And so when you look at this, notice the same verse for John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them believe on his name. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And they know, when did you call to be saved from death and hell and for sin? When did you call? So you can't say you did it. Well, I did that. You know, I was just talking to a guy recently. He said, well, I prayed that already. I said, when? When I got in jail. I said, let me ask you a question. Did you pray to get out of jail? Did you pray to get out of sin? Did you pray for God to forgive you because you're a sinner? Or did you pray, God, forgive me because of the sin that led me to jail? I said, there is a difference. Well, no, I meant to forgive, but that's not what you said. You said you prayed when you got in jail. What did you pray for? What did you ask for? Because folks say, well, I pray like that all the time. I pray when I got this. I pray when I had my baby. I pray when this car accident happened. I pray when I got that bill. I pray when they foreclosed on my house. I pray when I went into financial ruin. I pray. Well, what are you praying for then? Financial ruin, the car, the baby? You know what we're praying for? I'm a sinner and deserving of judgment in hell. Lord, forgive me. And I'm not going this way anymore. I'm dropping and I'm going this way back to Jesus. And so there is a difference. Notice the verse down there. Behold, I stand at the door, Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. I ask God to forgive me many times. Is there another verse somebody else has used that's applicable? You say, hey, look, I've used this verse before. And someone says, I prayed many times. Anybody got one? I prayed many times. By the way, how many times do you find Paul praying salvation prayer?
Once.
Lord, what would thou have me to do? God got his attention. He'll need to pray. And you know what testimony he always went back to? I was on the road to Damascus. When people start talking to me, I say, hey, February 3rd, 1991 in Belgium. I've only got one testimony. Amen. And so when you look at that, I've asked God to forgive me many times. That's not going to wash. Amen. This is too simple. I need to do something to earn it. And you ask him, what could you possibly do to earn eternal life? Well, I gave to the church. And so that's going to equate eternal life? Yes, sir. Exactly. What could you? Can you give your life? Because that's what it takes. Was this it? Pass away. You know, that's the same question I asked my sister. She said, well, I got to do these five things for Islam. And I said, well, what if you were supposed to give $1,000 more and you gave a dollar less? And you just cut. I said, you know what? And you know what she said? Well, I'd fall on God's mercy. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You need to fall on God's mercy. And the mercy is in the person of Jesus Christ. It's amazing how they come back to the same concept. So if you get to heaven and Allah says, well, I wanted you to be good to five people and you're only good to 4 3/9 or 4 3/4. OK, now you're going to go to hell. Well, you know, we follow Allah's mercy. Well, that's what we're talking about. Not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Amen. And so it's amazing how they do that. Amen. So when you look at that, if we could earn salvation, it wouldn't be a gift. The Bible says the wages of sin is what? Death, but the gift of God. Go over to Romans chapter number 6 here. You should be in 3 still. And if I had my old Bible, they're all highlighted in chapter number 6. Somebody point out what says it's just a free gift or gift in Romans chapter 6. Is that chapter 5? Several places. I think it starts up there, verse 12 somewhere. Where are we at here? 15? Yeah. In my old Bible, they're underlined too, and I got to start all over again. Amen. Verse 15, but not as the offense, so also is the what? Free gift. Do you work for a gift? No. Birthday comes around, you don't do anything. You just get something for your birthday. Pastor White got a whole bunch of cookies for his birthday. Pastor White, did you work for those cookies? No, folks just made cookies. Even G2 made him some cookies. Amen. And they were actually pretty good. Amen. And it says, for if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift, notice that, by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto how many? Many. Not as it was a one that sinned, so is the what? Gift for the judgment was by one of condemnation, but the what? Free gift is of many offenses unto justification. So there's nothing that I can do to earn it. Amen. Where's the next one at? 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the what? Gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. So again, I can't work for this. Where's the next set at? 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men. By the way, that's Adam. All men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. And any more? Is that the last one? I think that's the last one. Amen. So over and over again, gift, 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 gift. You don't work for a gift. The gift is free. And so there's nothing that I can do to earn eternal life. It requires someone to be the perfect sacrifice to give their life. That life was Jesus Christ because it had to be righteous, perfect blood, just like a lamb that was without blemish. That was the whole representation of the Old Testament, giving a lamb for the sins of Israel. And so Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God. John Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So there's nothing we can do to earn it. Amen. One more here. It says down there, notice the verses. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. This says, not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. By the washing, regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. I'm good enough. Amen. I'm not a very bad sinner. In other words, what they're trying to say is, I don't sin that much. How much sin is too much? One. One sin is too much. Amen. Well, you know what they're doing when they say that? Well, I'm not as bad as Brother Fred. I'm not as bad as Brother Gary. I'm not as bad as Pastor White or Brother Ken. I'm not as bad as Brother Serge. Now, they got big sin, but I've got little sin. So, I didn't murder anybody. I didn't knock any old ladies off and steal their jewels. God's not interested in that. He said, look, you're a sinner. All people have sinned. And so when it comes to that, it's actually trying to quantify big and little sinners. Amen. We might look good compared to another person, but compared to God, we are in desperate need of salvation. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone where? Astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord had laid on him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 64:6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And that's a pretty, pretty vulgar statement if you actually look that up. Anybody ever look that up and know what that's talking about? Brother Sir, I'll let you say it. What's that talking about? Filthy rags. Leprous or menstruous stuff. What do? You throw it in the trash. And he's saying our righteousness is like leprous garments or menstruous things that are discarded. In other words, what we try to do, he said, is discarded. That's repulsive. All our righteousness, he says, before God. That means what you're trying to say, what you present is better than my son. Yeah. Now think about it. Do the math. If you put your son or your daughter up on the cross, and everybody's trying to get in your heaven, and they say, well, look what I've done. And you say, but no, look what I did. Wouldn't you be insulted? I mean, think about it, Andrew. You gave up your two beautiful twin girls, and somebody said, but I got another way. I don't want your way. What? After I gave my two precious girls, you got another way. Yeah, you got another way, all right. That way is down. But that's exactly what people do. Well, I've got my own way to get to heaven. It's every way is just as good as the next way. No, it's really not. Because the Bible says what it says, amen. Romans 3:12, they're all going out of the way. They are together, become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. The rest of that verse in Isaiah 64:6, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Amen. So when you look at this, is there an argument that someone could have? Not so far. And by the way, there's a ton of more objections that we could look at. We're not going to look at that. We're going to stop right there. But I mean, there are so many. I cannot see God. I cannot understand everything about the Bible. By the way, do you have to understand everything about the Bible to get saved? Do you have to understand anything about the Bible? No, all you got to do is believe God's testimony that Jesus died for your sins. You were buried. You got to believe that you were a sinner. Amen. But you don't have to believe everything about the Bible. Amen. There is no such thing as sin. Everything is relative. New Age. Well, you know, sin is what you make it to be. Let me throw you in some boiling water. Say, boiling water is what you make it to be. Well, that's different. It's amazing how people do that. Amen. Amen. But we'll finish up with this next week. Amen. With these objections. By the way, if you witness to someone, you will hear them give you an objection sooner or later. Amen. And by the way, people need to be saved. And there are people like me who genuinely want to know. And you and I have to be spiritual enough to discern who really wants to know, that I really need to spend time and answer their questions, or who do I need to just brush off and say, you know, I got to go on and pray. I got to pray for you. Amen. Because not everybody wants to get saved. Amen. I sincerely wanted to know. And if you're sitting here saved, obviously you sincerely wanted to know. And somebody answered your questions. And so discern who's serious and who's not serious, because not everybody is serious. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and stop there and pick up with this next week. Amen. And I do trust that you're finding the opportunities to talk to people about their soul and their salvation. And sooner or later, you will run into some objections that you will have to talk to somebody and give them a biblical answer as to why what they're saying is not going to wash when it comes to the Word of God. Amen. All right, let's all stand to our feet. Don't forget, no activities this weekend, but do